Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday night's main event. If you'd like the entire show commercial free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
It's Fyter Fest versus the Great American Bash. And for the first time in nearly a month, it's a wrestling show about wrestling. Welcome to Sunday night's main event, broadcasting across Canada on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and tonight we've got 2 hours of pure escapism on tap for you. We'll kick things off with a recap of the week's news and then do a deeper dive when I welcome Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Our resident historian, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, will then join me for a segment to talk about the passing of Killer Tim Brooks. And in hour two of the show, after the Sheamus Jeff Hardy drink serving angle on Friday night, I'll welcome on the only man I trust to push drinks on me, bartender Dave. We'll be on the show to chat about NXT versus AEW and give his thoughts on the past week in wrestling TV. Plus, with it being the July 4th weekend, it'll be an all-American edition of Rhyme Time Turnbuckle Trivia. It's a jam-packed 2 hours of Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio, so let's get things started by recapping the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, for the first time in nearly a month, the news this week is light and mostly wrestling-based, but we still have to start with a COVID story. Because 4 months too late, but effective immediately, WWE has instated a mask policy, complete with fines. And I'm not talking about luchador masks here, friends. Any roster member or staffer working the TV tapings must wear a protective mask at all times unless they are on camera. Those that are caught in non-compliance can get a $500 fine for the first offense and a $1,000 fine for a second offense. This comes after a bunch of WWE staff has been pulled from TV due to testing positive for COVID-19. Now also, with crowds not looking to be in the near future, WWE laid out their TV taping schedule for the entire summer. There's no need for me to recap it, but what I will tell you is that an NXT TakeOver event is still slated for Saturday, August 22nd, with SummerSlam the following night on August 23rd. All of these tapings at the WWE Performance Center. Okay, to the ring now. After Wednesday night, a couple new matches have been added to night two of NXT Bash at the Beach. Mia Yim and Candice LeRae will face off in a street fight, and Santos Escobar, Raul Mendoza, and Joaquin Wilde will face Drake Maverick and Breezango. Ugh. Has also been announced for the show. That is filler at its finest, friends. Also expect Mercedes Martinez to have a reintroduction match after all the vignettes that they've been showing for her. To contrast this, AEW announced the first ever Puppies Battle Royal for next Wednesday night. And unlike the Attitude Era, this will be actual puppies in some sort of pre-produced Battle Royal segment. It wasn't really made clear whether this is on Fyter Fest or after Fyter Fest or whatever it's going to be. It's kind of like the Puppy Super Bowl that stations do each and every year during the Super Bowl, of course. What you won't be seeing this Wednesday is Jon Moxley versus Brian Cage. That match will take place the following Wednesday, that's July 15th, which is now known by the name Fight for the Fallen. The move is due to Moxley being cautious of his COVID-19 exposure. Expect the 8-man tag match to main event this week's Fyter Fest Part 2. Last week, I reported that Tessa Blanchard had been stripped of the Impact Wrestling Championship and released from her contract. Well, this week, Impact announced that Trey Miguel, Ace Austin, and Eddie Edwards will compete in a fatal four-way match for the vacant Impact Championship at Slammiversary on July 18th. Now, the fourth person in the match is being billed as a yet-to-be-named mystery opponent. Now, speaking of mystery opponents or mystery appearances, at Impact Wrestling's Slammiversary event, rumors have circulated around several recently released WWE talent appearing on Slammiversary. EC3, Zack Ryder, and Eric Young have all been teased to be showing up. Now, one thing I can confirm is that Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson are heading to Impact Wrestling in a deal that will allow them to also work for New Japan Pro Wrestling. The news broke on Pro Wrestling Sheet on Tuesday and was later confirmed by Dave Meltzer. Their WWE non-compete deals are up on July 18th, same day as Impact's Slammiversary pay-per-view, so I'm almost motivated enough to buy this pay-per-view. Almost. Also, for those of you that still do watch Impact each week, it will be at 9 p.m. this Tuesday as opposed to its regular 8 p.m. time slot. This is due to Ringo Starr's birthday party as broadcast on Access TV. Yep, even the crappy fourth Beatle is above Impact. He's Ringo Starr. Definitely more important than Impact. A couple follow-up notes from the sexual assault allegations and the speaking out movement. WWE confirmed that referees Joel Allen and Chris Roberts were released, while Joe Coffey has been suspended. All of them were from the NXT UK brand. And speaking of that brand, you may have heard that the mandatory conference call took place for Friday for the WWE NXT UK personnel. Rumors swirled around WWE perhaps cutting the promotion, but instead it was largely Paul Levesque telling them explicitly what the protocol was regarding sexual abuse allegations. He said there would be a zero tolerance policy on any charges, provided there was irrefutable evidence to support those charges. In an interview with The Hindu, Roman Reigns spoke about his decision not to wrestle during the coronavirus pandemic right now. He said, "For me, I just had to make a choice for my family. The company, WWE, has done everything that they can do to make it the safest work environment possible. It's not the workplace that I was necessarily concerned about. The decision was taken mainly because each performer travels so much and we are all such a diverse group and from all over the place. I'm not convinced that I can't trust the fact that everybody is taking it as seriously and locking themselves down at home like I am." Oh boy. I couldn't help but laugh. I couldn't help but laugh at him saying that WWE has done everything they can to make it the safest work environment possible, and then completely contradicting himself in the next statement. All right, moving along. To no one's surprise, WWE has purchased Evolve. PW Insider's Mike Johnson confirmed Thursday that WWE has completed a purchase of the Philadelphia-based Evolve Wrestling Group from co-owners Gabe Sapolsky and Sam Hawawi after several months of negotiations. Financial details were not disclosed. WWE and Evolve, of course, began working a relationship several years ago, and it was approximately 1 year ago, actually, on July 13, 2019, that Evolve's 10th anniversary celebration aired on the WWE Network. But whether it will continue as a brand on the network or just be consumed is unknown. However, it does look like WWE now owns the entire Evolve and Dragon Gate USA tape library, in addition to some other content that includes early Full Impact Pro footage. The Associated World Wrestling Network, though, was not involved in the deal, but all content in the deal will most likely be removed from that service. After 146 events, Evolve's final show was on March 1st of this year, with other scheduled shows canceled due to the pandemic. Really, if you're going to sell, this is an ideal time, simply because the restarting of Evolve with smaller crowds in the midst of COVID-19 and what happens with live crowds is so up in the air, so unknown, it's really an ideal time to cash in, sell the library, and I don't know, be integrated into WWE. I mean, maybe that's probably going to be the case with Gabe Sapolsky. Pure speculation on my part, but he's kind of been working as an associate for many years now, so it would make absolute sense. To no one's surprise, AEW announced on Thursday that their Boston and Philadelphia Dynamite events will take place in 2021 instead. This is a rescheduling of events. So the rescheduled show for Philadelphia on July 29th was originally on April 22nd. It's now going to take place on April 7th, 2021. While the Boston show on August 5th, originally set for April 15th, will now happen on April 21st, 2021. Honestly, why bother even announcing these dates? And then ticket holders, like the tickets are good for those dates. You can't even do that at this point. Because let's just say they've sold tickets and the tickets in something that holds roughly, you know, 20,000, let's say, in these arenas for argument's sake. And they're going to do 25% of the total. Well, I'm sure they've sold more than 5,000 tickets at this point. So then what do you do with all of the people that are also all the tickets that they have sold are probably very near one another in the lower bowl. And they're going to have to spread these people out. So those tickets aren't going to work for the assigned seats that they've had. I mean, listen, I'm not someone who runs an organization. I don't necessarily know how tickets work. But looking at this point, I would say give everyone a refund and then send them an email when they can buy new tickets. Because everything is going to have to be reassigned. And there's only probably going to be, even if it's 50% of capacity, even a year from now, I would say you're looking at max 50%. Like, you're not going to be able to fill an arena. A sold-out, quote-unquote, arena is going to be much like a regular WWE sold-out arena. Completely fake and not sold out. Hey, Renee Young was teasing a huge announcement for this past Wednesday. Did we all see this on our social media? It was the talk of the Sunday Night's Main Event Facebook page. It fueled many to speculate she may be done with WWE. Turns out she's written a cookbook. I clicked on this on her Instagram. I don't know what it's about. I don't care. I turned off the clip right after I felt bamboozled into watching it. Good tease, Renee. Not going to buy your cookbook. All right, that wraps up this week in wrestling news. And there's a lot of wrestling news in there. That's fun. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Dave Meltzer will join us to take a deeper dive into the world of news. Don't forget, first hour, Lavransky still on the way as well. And then Bartender Dave in hour two. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Or, you know, that's normally when I go to commercial there. But actually, if you were a patron, if you are a patron, shall I say, then you may very well be listening to this show on Saturday. I had to record this show a day early, and the new patron policy is that right after I record these shows, they go up on the patron, commercial-free, for you to listen to on demand. So if you're tired of waiting till Sunday night to listen to this on TSN Radio, then by all means, become a patron and get it earlier. Listen on demand, commercial free, and do so at patreon.com/SNMEradio. It is only $4 a month. Taking a break, back with more right after this. Sunday Night's Main Event, maybe on a Saturday for some of you. TSN Radio.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery, now available at your local LCBO.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
It is Wrestling Observer Insider time, and that means we are welcoming the gentleman who is the editor of the Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer. Welcome back, Dave.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, and I'm happy to talk primarily about pro wrestling this week.
Good.
So listen, let's start things off with a bit of COVID talk. Last week, we talked about the fact that, you know, the outbreak happened in WWE, and you had said, you know, just watch for who is and who is not on TV this week. And it was, you know, very clear on SmackDown when guys were appearing via Zoom and just not there with the Sheamuses and Daniel Bryans of the world. My suspicion is those guys have tested positive and were just staying at home.
Or they didn't want to come to work.
Mm.
They were afraid to infect their families. It'd be one of the two, yeah.
And I think that, you know, someone that I really looked at in this particular case is Daniel Bryan, where you have Brie is currently pregnant at this time.
Right.
You know, if I'm Daniel Bryan, I'm looking at this, and I am absolutely furious at WWE at potentially risking the health of not only myself, but my future child.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because... People, to me, I mean, WWE, it's a weird cult. I mean,
yeah.
in the sense that everyone knows that you can't say anything, especially on this subject. So I really don't hear much from people there on this subject in that regard. I mean, I did before, I mean, I guess I do. I have a little bit, but not as much as you'd think. But it's actually people who are around WWE talent but don't work with WWE that have been a lot madder, I would say, because of, you know, they don't work there, so they're not, I don't want to say part of the cult, because that's not fair. And I'm sure that, like, some of them are really, really mad, and I have heard from those, but they're the same people who were mad all, you know, from day one, the fact that they were running without testing.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like this outbreak made a difference. They were already mad. And you know, but again, like, after this outbreak, you know, if I'm a WWE star, you know, I mean, there's got to be a lot of questions right now because, you know, not only, like, yeah, I can bring it home, you know, I can get it, I can bring it home to my family. And also, you know, you have to say it's management, but it's also other talent because there's talent that just, you know, they Instagram's, you know, whatever it is, but it tells you what people, you know, certain people, you know, with the pictures of what they're doing all the time, have shown that they're in public places with lots of people. So it's like something that happened at the Performance Center could have spread all kinds of other places. Or on the flip side, they could have gotten it from all other places, brought it in the Performance Center, and that led to the spread among all the talent. So it's talent also not being careful at all at a time when you have to be. And yeah, if I was someone who was careful, I couldn't be happy.
No. Let's talk about the things that happened in the ring. And this past week, we saw the Wednesday Night Wars, to me, really taken up a notch. I mean, it's Fighter Fest versus the very quickly thrown together Great American Bash. What did you think of the back and forth this week?
I mean, it was good for the fans because both shows were, you know, I think more interesting than usual. AEW show was really good. Almost every match. Really, every match was good, and some matches were great. And NXT had some good matches, some not-so-good matches. But they really, you know, you could really see it was, you know, very, very competitive night. I mean, MJF even talked about the ratings war on television, and there were some barbs thrown. And it was an interesting night, and it was, you know, there's a lot to glean from the ratings, probably more than most weeks. So, you know, between, I think that, to me, I mean, it's hard to say because you're split an audience, and they were both throwing stuff in, and you know, more people 18 to 49 actually watched wrestling on Wednesday this week than Monday or Friday, which is the first time I believe that that's happened, and it was also by a significant margin. It wasn't like it was close. And so that's something, but, you know, I mean, as far as I think that, there's a swing vote, so to speak, and it's mostly, I mean, it cuts across all ages, but it's heavily over 50, and that swing vote is very much like what is the most intriguing main event, and the same reason I believe next week that when it comes to total viewers, I think that NXT should probably win handily next week. 18 to 49s, who knows? I mean, you know, AEW did win by a pretty darn significant margin this week. But it could close. It could close because it's really all about the main event. And WWE the last couple of weeks has done. They've done a good job of building up main events. AEW is trying to build up the whole show, but the reality is, you know, you learn from boxing and MMA and history of wrestling. It's the main event that counts when it comes to total viewers.
Yeah, and I mean, AEW has been saddled with the fact that, you know, Moxley is out and they've bumped that to the following week. So it is a little bit tougher with them. I mean, it's kind of funny that Moxley is out due to a WWE performer.
I mean, isn't that the most amazing thing?
Oh, yeah.
Because
I mean,
obviously it's not...
not intentional.
Yeah, it's not intentional, but it ends up that, like, you know, one of the key things for next week's rating may be, you know, one of the key things, maybe the number two important thing in next week's rating, is that WWE inadvertently poisoned one of AEW's best stars. You
yeah.
know, he wasn't poisoned, but poisoned the situation.
Sure,
you can say that.
Yeah, yeah. What did you take out of the sloppy shop comment from Taz? Did you enjoy it? Because I don't mind these barbs being thrown like that. To me, it makes it more interesting for people who follow the product, much like you cover it, and the fans of this show listen and follow along.
I thought that there was nothing wrong with it because that's actually the reason that Moxley wasn't there. So it was basically telling the truth. I did think that AEW really needed to have masks on. I know they're outdoors.
Yeah.
I know that AEW historically, you know, we can say historically because we've got 4 months of data now. They've been far, you know, safer than WWE. Unfortunately, they were the ones. Well, I can't say because WWE, look at all the talent they lost. I mean, you know, AEW's losing Moxley for one match, but, you know, they lost a ton of talent for, you know, multiple television shows. So it's you know, it's just what the way it went down. But I didn't mind it, but I still think that AEW should have masks on all their talent at ringside. That's not part of the performance of the show itself. Just it's a better look. And safer, and you know, WWE. Even though they had that no mask edict, and now they've gone in the other direction where everyone's supposed to wear masks. Although I did see people, I saw one person not wearing a mask, and another person, you know, another two people with masks not covering their nose, which is kind of like stupid. On SmackDown last night, but still, it was pretty much everyone, and in AEW it was. Yeah, people in the stands were, but the people at ringside that were close together were not, and that wasn't. I didn't think that was a good look.
There was a bit of a leak in the world of NXT. An Indashir member, Sarov Gujar, posted a photo with Keith Lee holding both belts. However, some have said that there are two endings that have been filmed for the main event this week on NXT. Have you caught wind of any of this, Dave? And what's
I don't know if that's true, but you know, you can always tape over and do something new if you need to.
Right.
I mean, they've done that before, but I've never heard of them taping multiple endings, and I know that they were furious that the photo got out.
Oh,
it's
man.
Not like they leaked it to swerve somebody. Like, if it was, it was... You know what I mean? So I'm thinking that people are saying that there are multiple endings taped that night are trying to desperately make you think that maybe this isn't happening. If there was a second ending, you know, they've never taped a second ending for any matches for months, and then all of a sudden it'd be this one? No way. No way. You know what I mean? But can they later tape a second ending? Yes.
If this is the case, if it is Keith Lee that is holding both belts, to me, that puts him in a program with Karrion Kross. But on the other side of things, what does this mean for Adam Cole and perhaps all of his guys? Do you think that they make their way to a different show?
Man, it'd be really bad for them if they did. I mean, they fit well in NXT, but they're going to get... Cole has a chance. The other ones really don't. On the main roster. I mean, we've seen what happens on the main roster. And also, you can't even bring them as a group because Kyle O'Reilly isn't going to be able to be part of the group for a long time.
Right.
So it's not the right time to make a debut with three of them. And, you know, Bobby Fish, you know, I'm Bobby Fish and I'm Roderick Strong. I guess maybe you make more money, but it ain't going to be fun for them on the main roster. They are not going to get a push. Adam Cole may or may not. You never know. I mean, I thought Ricochet was a can't miss, and look what happened.
Yeah.
So I don't like, you know, just because I know Adam Cole's really talented, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen.
WWE bought Evolve this week. To me, that really wasn't surprising. I mean, they've had an affiliation for a while. I would guess the brand is just absorbed. What do you see happening here?
Yeah, they're not going to. I can't imagine them running shows under the name Evolve. I think they just bought the tape library and intellectual property, and it was just a way for Evolve to pay off, you know, bills. I mean, they lost so much money. Everyone did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the amount of money that these independent companies lost that were planning. You know, because they spent all the money. And you know, you have to make deposits and things like that and plane tickets, and you're not getting all your money back, refunding tickets for the shows. It was a giant hit for a lot of companies, and Evolve couldn't afford that hit. And that, you know, this probably was going to happen inevitably at some point, but this, you know, the canceling of WrestleMania pretty much was the death knell for Evolve.
Let's flip over to the world of Impact. Anderson and Gallows look to be in Impact, but can still work New Japan. I would say EC3 looks to be headed there. What else do you see happening? I mean, Impact Slammiversary does look like an interesting show.
It is interesting. I mean,
yeah.
As far as who's going to be the new people and some new matches and stuff like that, they also, you know, they also lost Tessa Blanchard, who they built the whole company around for the last 6 months. So, you know, there's some new and some leaving. You know, I mean, they offered good money to some of these, to these people coming in. So that's a, you know, that's a sign that, that, you know, the company's willing to spend money for talent.
Who do you foresee as that fourth person in the main event? Is that where EC3 finds his way into the company?
I think he's the favorite. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, but I think he's the favorite.
Now, his Impact is offering, you know, money to people to come over to their promotion. ROH doesn't seem to be. What is the situation with ROH and, in particular, with Bully Ray?
Well, Bully Ray was not offered a new deal. His existing deal ended, and he is not the only one. There's a couple of other people that fall into that category. So I have not heard of them offering any. You know, it's like, it's you know, New Japan's the same way. New Japan has not offered anyone new deals because they're trying to take care of the people that they already have. You know, as far as like what will happen once they're back in business, who knows? You know, I guess that there have been deals made, but I don't know how recent they have been. You know, because it was like, I was kind of told that like you're not going to be seeing any big deals other than Danhausen as far as new contract guys in ROH now. I mean, Ian Riccoboni said, well, I got a new deal, but I don't know what the date of that was, and that other people have, you know, like Flip Gordon, but that was months ago. I'm you know, Flip Gordon was May. I'm talking about now, you know, end of June. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I was, you know, yeah, I was told that don't expect any big money new deals from ROH, but we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, on the market that have ROH backgrounds, and you know, I mean, you know, AEW is not going to take everyone, and they really shouldn't even take too many.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that are free, and some of them should, you know, there's an opportunity in ROH because, and there should be opportunities in AEW because they could both use new top guys or middle guys, you know, high middle guys even.
And finally, let's wrap up this week with you know, our kicker piece here, and that is Conor McGregor calling out Vince McMahon. Just Conor being Conor, or is there some interest with Conor and WWE?
Well, there's always been interest from WWE. It's always been a money issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like what WWE is going to pay Conor and what Conor wants, or like the last time, which would have been a couple years ago, where they wanted him for WrestleMania. I just remember hearing that the numbers were so far apart that they were not going to make a deal. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know where Conor's head's at. Conor is a wrestling fan. He may want to do it just to do it. But Conor also isn't a guy who does stuff cheap. And, you know, WWE is not exactly throwing around giant money anymore either. You know, I mean, if it was 6 months ago, you know, I think the opportunity was probably better than now. But, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe for next year's WrestleMania that's a hook that they may want. I don't know. But it's, as far as from the Conor side, it's just Conor being Conor. Conor's just looking for... Conor's constantly looking to stay in the news. It's like his retirement. You know, it's like, you know, it's like people are talking about, you know, somebody else today. You know, I got to make sure it's all about me.
Dave, that's great for this week. For us, what is in the Observer for you?
This last week's issue was just loaded with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the harder issues I've done. Last several weeks, really. This coming week, who knows? I don't have a clue because the giant story, you know, hasn't really hit yet, and I know that there will be a plenty going on because there always is. I think the pandemic has created like more news and drama than would have been if we were having full time wrestling.
Yeah, I would say the same. And then because, you know, a byproduct of the pandemic, I actually think, is all of the allegations that have come out as well. It's just a matter of, well, no shows on. People are willing to speak out a little bit more. So that might be a bit of a byproduct. So you get both of those huge stories that are taking up, you know, a lot of what we talk about and what you write about.
Yeah. And just, you know, just a lot of different stuff. I mean, this last issue, there was, you know, I had a big story on Tim Brooks, a big story on the COVID thing, you know, just, you know, New Japan Cup, AEW versus NXT. I'm sure next week's, you know, one of the lead stories will be the second week of Fyter Fest and Great American Bash and how the ratings go and quarter by quarter and all that. I'm sure that will be one of the big stories for next issue.
Well, that's great, Dave. Well, we look forward to chatting with you about that next week.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Of course, all of Dave's work you can find at WrestlingObserver.com. He's got all the scoop there. And actually, you know, the reason why I didn't mention Tim Brooks there and he had the big story on it is because we're going to talk about it next with our own historian. Dan the Mouth of Vransky will be on the line next talking about Tim Brooks and has a few funny stories on the way as well. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event and doing so on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
You recall what Gary Hart told us about Tim Brooks? Well, killer Tim Brooks comes roaring back to Texas.
Mike Von Erich, you're the weakest of all the Von Erichs. Now that I've broke your shoulder, you're gone. Your big brothers should come and do something about me. And let me tell you one more thing while I'm here. Coach Fritz, you might have to come and do something about killer Brooks, Gary Hart, and the gang.
Just like I told you, Fritz Von Erich, when you humiliated me before 40,000 people in Texas Stadium, you were going to pay the price.
Psycho killer.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. It's kind of sad, but yet happy here because we have on our historian, Dan the Mouth of Vransky, on the line right now. He is, of course, one of the hosts of All Elite Weekly on a weekly basis with Joe Aguinaldo. Hello, Mouth.
All right, Jay, how's it doing? How you doing?
Very well. Now, Mouth, we're going to talk about the passing of Tim Brooks. Now, I don't know much about him, and we will get there. But first, this was a really big week for you guys with All Elite Weekly because Fyter Fest happened, and it was not just one of their, you know, two-night events and the second one coming up. But along with that, it was, I'd say, at the present, the height of the cattiness of the Wednesday Night Wars happened this week because you had NXT present Great American Bash. And we were joking off air, there seems to be a new trend of NXT taking old gimmicks and renaming their own events for them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, there are attempts to try to provide competition for AEW. They're incredibly shallow and empty, and they're just taking these cheap little pot shots by, you know, using the Great American Bash to kind of slap Cody in the face because Dusty's the one that came up with the concept and all this kind of stuff. It is really incredibly petty. But the thing about NXT was that they didn't present a special event, and for me, Fyter Fest came off as a special event rather than another episode of Dynamite, whereas NXT was just another episode of NXT.
Yeah, I felt that very much as well, and I also kind of look ahead to the matches that they announced for next week's NXT, and I am not excited. I think that even without Moxley being on this card, AEW should still outdo NXT next week as well.
Yeah, I just thought they did a really great job, Jay, of making it seem like a special event. Like, if you watched it, it was almost all matches. There was very little promo stuff and setting things up for the next day because everything was already set up in place and these were set aside. Whereas the WWE, it was obviously a knee-jerk reaction. They tried to throw something out there. I mean, they were booking matches for the second part of the Bash on this week's TV that weren't even in place. So it just to me, the two promotions, AEW was great, but NXT, they really just showed that they're trying to catch up and not really going about it in the best way, I don't think.
Now, you say very little promo time, but the fact of the matter is the promo they did do on Dynamite with Taz coming out there and calling WWE a sloppy shop got a lot of press, and you really saw, this is what I meant by the cattiness, you saw them go out of their way to insult WWE there, and then WWE, we talked about the names, there was Dusty voice used and Dusty images used to open up the Great American Bash. And he was, you know, I know that there were other images used of former WCW stars, but his voice was used. And you know that was just them going out of their way to say, Cody, guess what? We still own your dad.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. They're firing big time shots at AEW. There's no doubt about it. But AEW has always kind of done that same thing as well. Except they just like to whip in kind of little digs here and there rather than make a big production out of it. But you're right. Both organizations are going at each other. There's no doubt about it.
And it's great, honestly, for fans that listen to this show and follow wrestling in the manner that we do and we present this show. It makes it very exciting to see what is happening next. It really brings you back to, I remember over here in Canada during the Monday Night Wars, we couldn't watch Nitro at the same time.
Right.
Nitro would air at midnight and Raw would air at 9, and I would stay up and watch it. Or it was the first thing I needed to pull the VHS tape that I've programmed out and watch the next morning before I went to school.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is great to have healthy competition, and absolutely. I mean, I'm sure the hardcore audience was falling off the couch as I was when Taz made that crack in his promo. I was just like, whoa, Salvo has been returned. They are firing back.
I love it. I love it all. All right, but today you are not actually here to chat about that. More about that, of course, on All Elite Weekly, the podcast for patrons at patreon.com/SNMEradio. But Mouth, a bit of a sad occasion. I mean, you are the historian of the show and you give us historical reports, and normally they come about with the passing of a performer. And this week, Tim Brooks passed away at the age of 72. He was on chemo, but he stopped in February of 2019. I don't know much, if anything at all, about Tim Brooks. He's not someone that fell into the wrestling landscape that I watched, but someone that you did get to see and interact with, actually.
Yeah, actually, that is absolutely right. Well, there's a reason you wouldn't have seen him as much, Jay. I mean, he did work a lot of the southern promotions in the U.S. and a lot of stuff in Japan and Puerto Rico and other parts of the world. And his real only presence in Canada was in 1988 when he came up and wrestled for Gino Brito in international wrestling in Montreal. And they actually brought him in as Bruiser Brody's brother.
Yeah,
and they called him Buster Brody. and he came out in a straight jacket and he was managed by Eddie and Floyd Creechman, and it was a really strange little thing that they did, because Brody came up and they did the initial angle to kind of bring Brooks in as his brother, and then Bruiser just leaves the promotion very quickly, and Buster almost became a bit of a comedy figure, unfortunately, and didn't work out the best way it could have. But the best way to describe Tim Brooks maybe is he was like what they call a journeyman wrestler. He was one of those guys that was never a super duper big star. He had his moments in certain promotions, but he was always just like a guy, much like his cousin, Dick Murdoch, who got him into professional wrestling. He was that same sort of thing. He was like never the big star at the top of the card, but he had his moments, and he was always someone that the promoters could depend on.
Well, having said that, though, I mean, Dick Murdoch was a much bigger star, and maybe I'm just someone who knows that name so much better from working with you for 20 years and hearing, oh, Dick Murdoch. A whole bunch in my ear.
Yes, I do like Dick Murdoch a little bit.
So, he got into the business with Dick Murdoch, but then going back in his career, he was involved in the very successful territory in Detroit that the Sheik ran, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The Sheik, Ed Farhat, almost took Tim Brooks under his wing, and he really taught him a lot about professional wrestling. His first big run was for the Sheik in Detroit in the early 70s, and he saw what the Sheik was doing with this kind of frenzied, maniacal character that got super strong heat and had these really short, crazy brawls. And that's really what Brooks ends up doing. He's almost the same sort of character. He's the number two heel behind the Sheik, for sure. It was perfect for that promotion as well, because the Sheik's promotion was not about cruiserweight wrestling or athletic contests. It really was about crazy, frantic, bloody brawls. So Brooks fit right in there, and he managed to kind of take that whole thing and use it his entire career, really.
And much like everyone of that era, he also made his way when he came up to Canada, the place to go before getting to Montreal. In the 70s, he went to Stampede Wrestling and worked a bit for Stu. He was a heel there, you had mentioned. Was he always a heel throughout his career?
Yes, pretty well. The only time, honestly, he wasn't was that Buster Brody gimmick that we just talked about from Montreal. He was really kind of, it was almost like a Eugene kind of thing, right? Where he was just kind of like a lovable misfit kind of thing.
So he was Eugene before Eugene and John Nord before he was the Berserker.
Yes, yes, there you go. He touched on a lot of the bases, I'm telling you.
78, he went to Portland, and he worked some with Roddy Piper. They formed a tag team?
Yes, they formed a heel tag team that was incredibly successful. Because think about it, Jay, you've got Piper that can be the mouthpiece and yell and scream, and then you've got Brooks, who was, you know, perceived as this tough, crazy, badass kind of street fighter type thing. So he could be the backup for Piper as the mouthpiece. So it was really successful in Portland for Don Owens. They did big business. They hung out quite a bit together. They partied very heavily together. Brooks, you know, talking in later years about how him and Roddy were both heavily into the cocaine and stuff like that. But they were a successful team there for about 2 or 3 years.
And along with that, before we get into your story about bumping into Brooks at Cauliflower Alley, there was one angle that you were telling me about where he was involved in the precursor to the angle that everyone remembers. DiBiase, the dual referees, all of that happened. But what did Brooks do? Or what was he involved in what was it, in Georgia?
Yes, yeah, they did an angle in Georgia where Brooks won what was the national heavyweight title, was what it was called. And after he won it, he just took it and he sold it to Larry Zbyszko for $25,000. But they did basically the same thing. I mean, obviously the WWE was influenced by this angle. But yeah, the NWA quickly said, no, you can't sell the title. And they had a tournament to determine who the next champion would be. But yeah, that was in 1983. So a good 5 years before they did it in the WWF.
All right. And finally, you got the chance to meet Tim Brooks, Killer Tim Brooks, at Cauliflower Alley. That would have been, what, about a decade ago?
Yeah, it was in 2006, so about almost 15 years ago. I was down there to do some interviews of some of the legendary guys that were there, like Nick Bockwinkel, Harley Race was there. There was a bunch of different ones. And one of the guys I got to talk to was Gary Hart, the manager, booker, a great character in professional wrestling, very smart guy. And he was there with Tim Brooks. The two of them had come together. They worked together back in the day in Dallas for Fritz. And so they had been friends for a long time, and they traveled to this together. So after I did the interview with Gary Hart, really great guy, and we just kind of hit it off, and we were talking. We spent a lot of that weekend just talking about wrestling and stuff together, and we were always together. And at one point, he had something in his, I can't even remember the circumstance now, but I think he had something in his hotel room, some old memorabilia or something that he wanted to show me. So I go back to his room and he's rooming with Killer Tim Brooks, and we walk in the door and there's Killer Tim Brooks buck naked, sprawled out on the bed, and he's just sitting there with the TV on and he's reading the paper. And he just looks up. We walk in, and he just looks up and goes, oh, yeah, hey, how's it going? Didn't make a move to go put on his pants or didn't do anything to feel like he had been embarrassed or anything. And, I just walked in with Hart, and we were talking, and I chatted with him, and we exchanged stories and stuff. So he, at that point, he was in much better shape. He had cleaned up his drug habits and stuff. He had a long-time drug issue, both him and his wife, and they eventually managed to clean that up. And he was in good shape at this point, and we had a lot of fun talking. And the other thing I just want to note quick too is he did actually have a wrestling school, and here's your modern day connection, Jay. Keith Lee was one of his students, and Keith Lee just sent out a Twitter within the last couple of days praising what Killer Tim Brooks taught him and said he would never be where he is without that training from Brooks.
Keith Lee, who may very well be a dual champion by next week, and if you've seen some images, you may already know that.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Yeah,
all right, Matt.
Very interesting.
Well, thank you for that, and we'll be talking to you. Listen, it'll be 2 weeks' time. You and I get to watch Extreme Rules, the horror show. You like horror movies.
Oh, I do. It's time for another cinematic match, obviously, with the horror show. They've caught on, and I can understand if the fans, they get people watching and they get people talking, so I can see why they're going to continue to do them, especially in this era where it's hard to put on a very dramatic match without a crowd. We'll get ready. What kind of horrors will be in the horror show? We shall see.
Yeah, we'll see if it's a horror or horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it could very well go. But we will be doing that live a couple of weeks from now. Till then, you guys have got another big All Elite Weekly this week because it is Fyter Fest Part 2, and you got to be stoked for the main event eight-man tag.
Oh, it is going to be insane. Those four teams together, that match is going to be off the charts. It's going to be insane. But you know what? If you're one of those people that gets upset that the referee has no power in the match, don't watch that match.
Probably not. All right. Well, Lavransky's got that on Wednesday / Thursday with Joe Aguinaldo. Thank you, Mouth.
All right. No problem, Jay. Anytime.
A break and then back with our Turnbuckle Trivia. Very USA edition on this July 4th weekend. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Dan the Mouth Lavransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty parts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there, and they say yeah.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. We have our two competitors on the line to play the game. And even though it is two Canadians on the line, we are going to be doing a very July 4th themed version of Turnbuckle Trivia. Rhyme Time USA is the game. Player one is going to be Dan from Toronto. Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Pleasure to be playing the game.
Well, also, Dan, a pleasure for those of you that may be your Facebook friend to see your marvelous mustache that you have on your Facebook photo. I was sad to hear that you have shaved it.
We will mourn it, and hopefully this will be a memorial ceremony honoring its memory.
Well, we'll see if it's a good one or a bad one for you, as your opponent today is just a well-known winner on Sunday night's main event. This is the gentleman who won the Undertaker contest here on the show. It's Zach from Newcastle. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Jason.
Zach, you got to meet the Undertaker. I mean, how do you feel with all the Undertaker stuff that has happened recently? You think he's called it quits?
I hope so. the documentary went from one or two episodes, and he just kept wanting to be motivated to have a good match. Well, he's ended it. Don't come back and ruin it.
You know what? That is a great sentiment for sure. Don't come back and ruin it. We'll see, because he did say, well, if Vince wants me, I guess we'd have to have a conversation. So I wouldn't put it by him. All right, gentlemen, no Undertaker talk on this week. We're going to do a very Americana edition of the game. It's Rhyme Time. So Rhyme Time works. I will give you a question. You have to come up with a rhyming answer. My example is always Roderick Toombs opens up an exotic pet shop specializing in snakes. Your answer would be Roderick Toombs is, of course, Roddy Piper. So Piper's Vipers would be your answer. Steals are in play. Dan, your player one. Zach, your player two. Dan, your question is, Mr. USA opens up an off-track betting site. Mr. USA opens up an off-track betting site.
Ooh, Mr. USA. Tony's Ponies.
Yeah, Tony's Ponies. Tony Atlas, of course, who went by Mr. USA. And Tony's Ponies would be the off-track betting site. Very good. He's got one. Zach, over to you. This is tough. I will equal it in the next one, though, Zach. I will let you know that. A member of the U.S. Express tag team opens up a facility specializing in milk, ice cream, yogurt, etc. So a member of the U.S. Express tag team opens up a facility specializing in milk, ice cream, yogurt, etc. You just got to remember back to who the U.S. Express was.
And I can't remember who that was, so I don't know.
Okay, so the pass is on. Dan, you get the chance to steal this.
Terry's Dairy?
No, there is no Terry. Who did you think it was?
I didn't think it was anything. I was trying to reverse engineer it.
Okay, well, you're right with the dairy part. What you did not get is there no Terry. It was, of course, Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham were the U.S. Express. Oh. So it was Barry's Dairy. No point goes for that one. Now, Dan, I'm going to equalize this for you because I got to give you a hard one as well. And here it is. A member of the American Express tag team opens up a baby care service. Let's see if you can reverse engineer this. A member of the American Express tag team opens up a baby care service, Dan.
Scott's Tots.
I love the guess. Now, it's incorrect, though, but I love the guess. Zach, do you remember back to this tag team? And if you do, can you figure out, maybe even reverse engineer your answer?
No.
No guess. All right. The answer is, now, the American Express tag team was, once Barry Windham left WWF at the time, he was replaced with Rotunda by Danny Spivey, and therefore the answer would be Danny's Nannies. Danny's Nannies. All right, over to you, Zach. This gets a little bit easier. Never mind pro wrestling tees. This former WWE champion and Olympic gold medalist opens up his own merch shop.
Kurt Shirt?
Yeah, Kurt Shirt. It's an easy one there. It's 1-1 right now, so we go to Dan. Dan, here's your final question. One of my favorites. Jim Duggan uses his catchphrase to start a company that capitalizes on the COVID-19 at-home baking trend. Jim Duggan uses his catchphrase to start a company that capitalizes on the COVID-19 at-home baking trend.
Tough Guy Baking Supplies?
Oh, no, that is incorrect. I will not say... Well, it's not even close. So, Zach, I will give you that hint. It's not even close. What do you got?
I would just say home baking.
No, the correct answer, guys, is ho dough. The catchphrase is ho. All right, Zach, you can pick up the win here if you get this. The Patriot opens up a garment shop specializing in premium women's hosiery and scarves.
Del Wilkes Silks?
Del Wilkes Silks is correct. Very good, Zach. And that gives you two. Dan, you only had one. So that means, Zach, congratulations. You get a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. Maybe you can get one from Del Wilkes the Patriot. Something with an American flag on it. Wouldn't that be a delight?
Probably not.
Okay. Whatever you like, though, is yours. I'll be in touch with you. Dan, thank you for playing the game. Zach, congrats.
Thanks, Jason.
Remember, if you want to play the game, whether it be Rhyme Time, Before and After, or Straight Up Trivia, all of them are available to you. And I do take requests. All you got to do is become a patron to get in. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Taking a break and coming on back. A whole hour ahead of us, and Bartender Dave joins me next to chat about the Wednesday Night War. It really went into overdrive this week. We'll talk about it next, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Super Kick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have 4 beard oil flavors, spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
And now Shirai with the moonsault! Nailing Sasha Banks, blinded by the mist, Io Shirai! Secures the win!
By the fast rocks, here it's called Green River.
It is hour two of Sunday night's main event, and we are going to duck back to the Wednesday night war once again, which we touched on with Dan the Mouth Lavransky in hour one. However, we'll go with the other side of things for hour two to kick things off, because the man who always joins me to chat NXT is on the line. Unlike Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, I will accept his drinks at any time. Bartender Dave is here.
Hooray! Oh, Brother Jason, happy Canada Day, happy 4th of July, and happy heat wave. I truly hope that all of our lovely listeners are safe, healthy, and smiling on this beautiful weekend.
Yeah, it is definitely ridiculous in the greater Toronto area as far as heat has gone, but hopefully you have air conditioning somewhere in the home. At least if it's a window unit, you can sit beside it and then put your TV there and watch what is going on in the world of wrestling. Refreshing this week, Dave, because I haven't chatted with you over the past couple of weeks that have been just a disaster in the world of wrestling, but we're actually going to talk about in-ring stuff, which I have to say I definitely prefer.
I'd have to agree with you. And getting back to the heat wave, like, I do have air conditioning, but not in my son's room where I usually do all this recording, so it's nice and quiet. So I'm a little bit sweaty right now.
Okay. We don't need to know all that much about it. We just heard Lavransky tell a story about seeing Killer Tim Brooks naked on a bed in Vegas. So the last thing I need to know is about what's going on with you. So Wednesday Night War this week, Dave. I talked to Lavransky about it, but I really thought that both organizations got a little catty this week. What was your take?
Now, you brought this up to me, and I totally missed this at the beginning of NXT. I totally did. I should have gone back and watched it as soon as you said something like that, but I missed it. Like, what did I miss?
Well, you had, at the beginning of it, you had a whole bunch of legends shown, Dusty being one of them, and Dusty's voice was used. Like, and I know it's the Great American Bash, and I do think of Dusty when I think of Great American Bash, but it wasn't a necessity to throw that in there. And you just know that WWE is taking shots at AEW, and AEW shooting back with lines like, you know, sloppy shop from Taz. And yeah. I gotta be honest, Dave, though, I love it. I just love what's happening. We've always said competition makes it better, and
Amen.
They're not really doing it in a, it's not affecting the product. It, to me, it's just making the product more interesting.
I can see what you're saying there, and I can see that, like, the Taz thing was definitely a shot. But with the Dusty Rhodes thing, I don't think it was really that much of a shot. Dusty Rhodes, he was so important in NXT and the bringing up of the new talent. And I think that they were actually giving him his props that he deserves for what he did with NXT.
But Dave, that's not even the purpose, though. The purpose of it is the Great American Bash name. And them using the Great American Bash name is something that Dusty created.
Right.
And is Dusty's voice was used. It wasn't in regards to his time in NXT. It was about his Bash time. And I mean, the fact that they branded this Great American Bash, did it make a difference to you? Because to me, Fyter Fest was an event. Great American Bash was a name on an episode of NXT.
Okay, I can see that. Like, but the matches were good on both shows, I thought. I thought NXT did a really nice job. It just seemed like another episode, which it did, but I still really enjoyed it.
Well, it kicked off, Dave, with the women's number one contender elimination match. We had LeRae pinned by Yim, Yim pinned by Kay, and Kay pinned by Knox to win this match. Dave, you know, Tegan Knox gets the win here. I was sure this was going to be Dakota Kai, because I really enjoyed Dakota Kai with Raquel Gonzalez in her corner. I thought that she has really kind of risen above the pack, whereas who and what is Tegan Knox?
Yeah, Tegan Knox, well, we know her as Lady Kane. That's pretty much it. She does the choke slam.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like Tegan Knox, but it didn't make any sense. She's a number one contender, and Io is a face. Is she not? Or is she a tweener? Like, she's a face, right? So you got a face versus face. And like you said, like, unless Gonzalez has COVID and they can't use her or something like that, like, why do this? It didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I found it really, really sloppy. Though the whole match I found sloppy. I found that Mia Yim's a little bit too blatant in her moves, and that she moves too slow. And I couldn't get past Dakota Kai's hair. It's terrible hair.
I didn't, you know, everyone registers something different, and that wasn't on my registry for this particular match, Dave. Here's something. Let me throw this at you, though.
Okay.
Maybe... maybe what is happening here is, well, did they want to tease the fact that the main event tonight with having a babyface come out of this, they were teasing that Sasha Banks was going to beat Io Shirai for the championship, which ended up not happening in the main event, and thus leaves them with a bit of a messy situation here. So I thought perhaps, unless they're looking at, you know, Io losing the title before she gets to Tegan, because Tegan versus Io, I have little to no interest in this at all.
Yeah, me too. I would have, like, if it wasn't Dakota Kai, and I, like I said, I'm not a big fan of hers, I would have liked to have seen LeRae take this.
Wow.
Go for it.
Wow. Yeah. Bartender Dave recommending Candice LeRae to get a win and be a contender.
Well, she's got the best character right now. Like, when you think of just normal, like, just a character in general,
yep.
You take these four women, she's got the most grandiose character, and she's a heel,
yep.
And I would love to see that match.
All right. I can't disagree with you. Let's skip to the main event, though. What did you think? Not to say that we're going to be done after this, but what did you think? I mean, Sasha Banks coming back with Bayley versus Io Shirai. This was, you know, so last minute. But to me, Sasha is just basically taking the place of Charlotte. I said it last week, and I still see it this week.
I agree with you, but I think that Sasha Banks is doing a lot better job.
Me too. I perhaps, Dave, because Sasha has been so underplayed for mm-hmm. so long now, whether it be the injury or the boo-boo face, I'm going home, and they really kind of kept her underlying with the Bayley and Sasha pairing, and
yep.
her character, even though it's the same, has been refreshed. And the fact of the matter is, Sasha Banks as a heel is the best possible scenario for Sasha Banks.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think you hit the nail on the head right earlier when you said that the boo-hoo, I'm going home thing. Because when that happened at WrestleMania, that was last year, right? Yeah. So when that happened and she left and then she came back and they did that whole 24 special, I just didn't care about this character. She seemed like this little prissy, you know, and didn't want to work. And you forget what a good worker she is and what a great heel she
yeah.
is, because
oh,
the
yeah.
pairing of her and Bayley, just dynamite.
It might be the best act in WWE right now, these two.
Oh, amen to that. Yeah, so good.
And
so
can
good.
You believe, Dave, looking back, I mean, you and I have covered NXT since, you know, like the very beginning. And
yep.
can you believe that we're talking about Bayley as being a great heel now?
No. Oh, God, no. This is a character that I saw retiring as a babyface.
Right?
Never, ever, ever do the heel. But when she did that Karen haircut and everything like that, it is just money. I love it.
All right. Also on this card, did we check? I think we might have checked in on all the good stuff, because this got really bad, Dave. Okay. Well, wait. Let's touch on Timothy Thatcher and Oney Lorcan. I mean, this is an appropriate build for the Thatcher character, and putting
right.
him in there with someone like Oney Lorcan makes sense for the way that they're building. Oney's a good worker. Oney can work this style that Timothy Thatcher is pushing. Do you like what they're doing here, though? Because to me, it's falling a little bit flat, kind of like a Dan Severn type thing, just very technical, but not all that much personality.
I hear what you're saying, but I have to disagree with you, because
okay.
I love both these guys. I love this match, and I thought that they went together so well. And I'll be honest with you. I checked out of NXT for a bit, so I missed the whole Matt Riddle, Timothy Thatcher pairing.
Yeah,
so
you didn't miss much. Let me tell you,
exactly.
You didn't miss much.
But man, that promo that they did last week with him in the ring with those guys stretching them out and everything, I was excited to see this, because I love Oney Lorcan. He is such a great bruiser, such a great character, and I think that Timothy Thatcher is going to be a real big player in the future.
You like some of the most unexpected things, saying I like Oney Lorcan. All right. I mean, people do, because he is a good worker. However, I just really haven't seen him come into his own.
Well, he probably never will, but with a name like that. They should have just kept him as Biff Busick. It's great. It's fun. And this, like, whose name is Oney?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Whose name is Dolph, though, right? Like, they have weird
point.
Names.
Yeah.
All right. I have two major objections to what is going on, what happened on this show.
Okay.
And they're the next two matches that we're going to talk about to round things out here. And one is Rhea Ripley. What has happened to Rhea Ripley doing comedy now with Aaliyah, who has no business being in this match with Rhea Ripley, and Robert Stone, who was going to be a great manager and a great character? I've been following him on Instagram forever. since he switched over from, you know, Impact, and I thought that he had a real future. Brutal. Everything was brutal about this program, about this match. I mean, at least Rhea won, but even the way that she did with the standing leg lock finisher was so dumb. This is garbage. I dare you to debate this.
Yeah, it was a comedy match, and I know how much you love that standing leg lock finisher just to one person, that, but to two. That was a little bit much. I wouldn't say everything was wrong with it. Aaliyah's getting better. We've seen her get better. She's still not up there, but
Rhea Ripley, was Charlotte. She was with Charlotte at WrestleMania. Now she's in a comedy match. What's going on?
Yes. And she should have beat Charlotte, and they totally botched that whole thing up. But, and they botched this whole Robert Stone character, because as soon as they made him this drunk derelict there for a few weeks, it was just like, well, he hasn't done anything. Why should we give a, care about him?
Yes.
You know? But, you know, it was comedy. Rhea won. Whatever. Next match.
Well, the next match was even worse. And that was strap match with Dexter Loomis and Roderick Strong. This is, again, Dexter Loomis' character was not good in Impact, is not good here. I can't handle anything. Here is the worst gimmick of the year, the worst character of the year, perhaps the worst feud of the year. That is what, at least it's over. I'll say that, because Gargano ends up in an interview vignette after this, and he tussles with Isaiah Swerve Scott. So it looks like, that's Gargano or Strong.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is not over yet.
No,
I wrote
not.
That. This is not over. Oh,
no.
Man, I wrote my own notes wrong, and I got Strong and Gargano confused.
Well,
what am I talking about?
He's still going to go after Fish, too, right?
Brutal.
But, okay, no, okay, I understand. I hear what you're saying about how much you dislike this character. But, again, it comes down to the name. If he would have if he would have kept his real name, Samuel Shaw, like he used in Impact, it would have been a heck of a lot better than Dexter Loomis. Don't beat us over the head with, he might be a psycho killer. His name's Dexter.
Dave, his name is not going to save this character.
I can guarantee you that it would.
What? How do you make that guarantee? His character wasn't good in Impact.
Well, I never watched Impact,
is there any redeeming quality with, the only thing that I will say makes sense about what they did here is the fact that it was a strap match because Roderick Strong kept running away.
Yeah.
That's fine. That makes sense. But the fact that Dexter Loomis is anywhere near, Roderick Strong has finally found himself in a spot where he's not a dad. He has a character. He's hanging out with the cool guys, right? The dad is in with the cool single guys.
There you go.
And it's working. It's working. This has the potential to ruin him. The vignettes have been terrible. It's been very WWE-like as opposed to NXT. This Dexter Loomis character is awful. Putting him anywhere near Roderick Strong is terrible. This match is terrible. Everything is awful.
Then you're going to hate the future that's coming up, because that Dexter Loomis is going to fight his way through the entire Undisputed Era up to Adam Cole.
Oh, why?
Because he's got a nice haircut and pretty eyes.
We must take a break. When we come back, let's look at the other side of the Wednesday Night War. We'll check in with AEW and what they presented with Fighter Fest. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.